Hey, it's good to see you this morning. My name's Al, if you don't know me, and special welcome to you if you're here for your first time. Hope you're enjoying it so far. And you can find out more about the church and sign up for our weekly email at the information point afterwards if you would like to. And for some of you know this, and maybe some of you don't, we have just started a new series, teaching series from the Bible called Shine and Sow. It will become obvious what we're talking about. We're not doing camping and farming. Trying to think what those things could be. But we are thinking about ways of doing what Jesus said is making more disciples of his. Richard was speaking on this last week. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And how do we do that? It can be quite difficult. It can be quite daunting for many of us. Maybe we think we've tried it, it didn't really work. But actually what we're looking at in this series is several ways that Jesus spoke about that can help it seem a bit more doable for us, and ways that actually it turns out that God wants to use some quite ordinary things that we do every day or we can do in a normal week and day that actually help people introduce people to Jesus, help give them the opportunity to become his disciples. Shining, we're going to think about particularly this morning. Sowing is going to come a bit later, but Rich sort of introduced both of those last week. If you didn't hear it, yeah, listen online. You can catch up with that. But let me pray. Father God, please help us. Help us to understand what Jesus said in the Bible that we're going to look at this morning. Help us to understand it for ourselves. Help us to understand what it means for us. Help us, Lord, not to recoil if it seems too hard. I just thank you that, Lord, you've given us your Holy Spirit, those of us who put our trust in you. And Lord, you are there to help us do everything you called us to do. Thank you for the wonderful thing it is to be a disciple of Jesus, to know him. And we long for other people to know you as well. Amen. Yeah. I guess the problem for many of us, when we think about making disciples of Jesus, if you're a Christian here this morning, and you probably thought about this before, the problem for most of us who are Christians is not that we don't think that people need to become disciples of Jesus. If we believe that Jesus is the light of the world, God's only Savior who said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that there are many people who need to hear about him. But our problem with making disciples of Jesus, for most Christians, is that it seems difficult. Maybe we've tried to speak to our friends about Jesus, and it was awkward, or they weren't interested, or both. Maybe we haven't even got that far. We just don't know where to start. Maybe we think it can't be my job. It must be someone else's job. Some people, surely there's a gift of evangelism, isn't there? Maybe it's for those people who do this. Or maybe it's for me. This is how I feel. I want to do it. I pray for people. I pray for opportunities to point people to Jesus, to sort of bring up in conversation just anything. But when I'm there in the moment, you think, it didn't happen. Did I miss the opportunity? Was there an opportunity? Am I supposed to be creating chances like in football and I didn't create any chances? What's happening? I feel disappointed often after conversations, maybe people that I'm meeting up with who don't know Jesus, and I just think, I'd just love to say something that will help them, point them in the right direction. Just say something, how it's great to be a Christian. And it just didn't happen. Well, if you can relate to any of that, this series is for you. And maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, and it's great that you're here. You're so welcome. Maybe you can relate to the idea of Christians trying to talk to you or inviting you, or maybe inviting you to church today. But I hope as you listen to this, you'll understand something more about why they're trying to do that. We've experienced God's love, God's hope, God's peace through Jesus, and we want others to know that too. I hope it doesn't sound like what we're doing this morning is it's sort of, you know, behind the scenes tactics about how to get people into our club. No, it's really about sharing something wonderful that we have received, that God has given us, that we didn't deserve. And we just want to share that with others. But the difficulty is, we know there are barriers to that, and people just don't understand it. And so sometimes it's just difficult to just come straight out of it, like recommending a new shop or coffee shop or piece of music or whatever it might be. This Christmas at our carol service, we've got this guy coming to speak, Adrian Holloway. Some of you will have heard of him, some of you won't. He's a great speaker, speaks all around the country at different things. But he came to speak here once, preaching just on a normal Sunday. And one of the things I particularly remember him talking about was about this idea that actually, not just what we say as Christians, particularly not just what we say about Jesus, about faith, can make an impact on people, but actually what we do and just what our lives are like. And he told this story about this couple that he knew who became Christians through some Christian friends of theirs. And the turning point for was this Christian couple inviting the other couple. They bumped into each other in the park and ended up having a picnic together and a big conversation over an hour long about God and Jesus. And soon after, this couple, the husband was a convinced atheist, they became Christians. And Adrian Holloway, he asked the husband, Paul, what did these Christians say to you at that picnic, in that conversation that made you want to leave atheism and become a Christian? What was it that they said? And Paul said, well, it wasn't anything that they said. It was them. It was something about them. And how we live as Christians, the things that we do as we live out, just what it means to be a Christian, living a life of love, because God has loved us, loving God, loving other people, it will have an impact on people. And that's what we mean by shining. It's just letting your life shine, letting the life of God in you shine out with just how you live and the living to please God. And that's what Jesus said. And we're going to look at that, look at a really important bit of the Bible. Now, I have to say, if you listened to the message last week, you'd be thinking, oh, didn't Rich say all of this last time? Well, he did a little sort of intro into what we're looking at this week and next week. But we're looking at hopefully a little bit more. Hopefully, if you don't remember it, it will remind you. If you didn't hear it, then that's fine. And if you did hear it and you remember it, hopefully it just helps you just chew it over a bit more and think, yeah, actually, this is really good thing. This is really for me. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So, first thing to say from this is that people need light. People need light. We take it for granted, don't we? Light is just, obviously, in the daytime, it's not needed, is it? We've got the light of the sun. But we just take it for granted when it gets dark. We flick the switch and the light comes on at home. We've got cars. If you've got a car, you've got a car with headlamps. Not so long ago, we got a new car, well, new to us. And it had automatic headlights. Well, it still does. It still has automatic headlights. They still work. And they come on when it's dark. I didn't even know that was a thing. I was like, ah, this is brilliant. I don't even have to worry about leaving my lights on. They turn themselves off as well. Amazing. We just take these things for granted. Torches. I remember talking to my boys. I don't know where we're going, camping or something. I said, have you got your torch with you? He said, why do we need a torch? We've got our phones. The phone's got a torch on it. Actually, I did know that. That wasn't a surprise to me. I did know about that. But actually, it made me think, oh, yeah. I guess you just, if you've got a phone that's got a torch on it, you've always got a torch with you. And all these sorts, all these things, we only need them when it's dark, and we do just take them for granted. But for Jesus to say that Christians are the light of the world, and we should make sure that we shine, firstly tells us that this world needs light, that there's darkness. Light in the Bible can be a symbol of goodness and purity and truth. And we need more of those things, don't we? We need more of those things in our worlds. And there is a lot of kindness and goodness and honesty in all around us in the world. But there's also a lot of selfishness and greed and lies and crime and cruelty and hatred. And we've all experienced the darkness, haven't we? We all experienced the darker side of life, some of us more than others. But actually what Jesus says is actually we've all been part of it. And actually at times we've thought, actually I don't want to be in the light. I want to be in the darkness. I prefer those things. John 19, a couple of things to mention that Jesus said elsewhere. John chapter 3 verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Talking about Jesus. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Darkness and evil in the Bible, it's not just the stuff of horror films and Halloween. It's wherever people decide against loving God and loving people. And at times we've all loved to be in the dark. Times when we've chosen not to love God, or chosen things that show we don't love God as much as we should. Chosen ways of living that actually are not loving towards other people. Because sometimes we think, actually, we don't want to say it to other people, and we don't say it exactly like this, but we don't always want to be loving to everyone. We don't always want to be pure and honest and fair and kind and merciful. But Jesus came to bring us what we most needed, even if we didn't think we needed or wanted the light. And Jesus said later in John's Gospel, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus came to bring light in a sense of forgiveness for all our dark deeds. He came to reveal the truth about God. He came to sort of shine the light, bring the truth, the revelation about God, and that we can know him. And as we come into the light, it's great what Anne was saying earlier on about making that choice to say, I'm gonna walk in the light, not in the darkness. I'm going to turn away from sin. I'm going to receive the forgiveness that Jesus paid for me on the cross. As we come into the light, God gives us a new life. And one of the ways that I guess the Bible talks about it, different metaphors used, but it's the light of life, Jesus calls it. A new life lit up by Jesus. And then we get to become lights to others. Lights in a dark world, where the truth is a majority of people are still in darkness, according to Jesus, and don't even realize it. It's good to just ask ourselves this morning, am I walking in the light at the moment? Am I walking in darkness? Have you received Jesus, the light of the world? Have you become a Christian? Have you given your life to him? Have you asked him to forgive you? Is he the light of your world? If you are a Christian, is Jesus, it's still a question for us, is Jesus shining in every part of your life? Or are there areas, sort of dark corners of your life, areas where the door's locked, and those dark corners where you're not wanting Jesus to shine his truth, to show up things where actually you need to change, to be more the way he wants you to be, to be more, to shine better for him, to others. Jesus wants to bring light to every part of your life. And it's a good thing. We feel afraid maybe sometimes to say, actually, I don't want to give up that thing. I don't want to let Jesus in to that area. But people need light. We need light. Well, second thing Jesus says, he says that you are the light. He says to Christians, to disciples of Jesus, obviously he's still saying that to us today. First, to his first disciples, he said this, you are the light. And that sounds a bit strange when we think, actually, hang on, didn't Jesus say he was the light? How can we be the light as well? Well, how does that work? Well, just like Jesus said, he's the light of the world. When anyone believes in him and follows him, they receive his light, the light of life, but then we reflect it to others. Now, some of you here will remember the old song, "By the Light of the Silvery Moon." But the thing is, the moon doesn't actually have any light of its own. I'm not saying moonlight's not a thing, but what is moonlight? It is reflected light. It's reflection of the sun's light. I don't think I always knew this. Well, I can't always known it, but maybe I didn't know it till fairly recently. During the week? No, I don't know. So at night, when we see the moon, we are actually seeing the sun's light reflected off the moon. We're sort of seeing, we can see the moon reflecting the light of the sun that we can't see. And that's the sense in which Christians are the light of the world. We reflect the life of Jesus in us. And we point people to him. We reflect Jesus' goodness, ideally, his qualities. Light is often used in the Bible as a picture of people coming to know God, believing the truth. It talks about going from darkness to light. And people need that. People need to have their eyes open to see the light of Jesus. And he wants to use us. He wants to use us to reflect his light into a dark world. Jesus made us his ambassadors, his messengers, to point others to him by our words, yes, but not just by our words, but by our lives as well, to reflect his light and truth. So if you're a Christian here this morning, Jesus says to you, you already are the light of the world. He doesn't say, well, maybe one day you can be the light of the world. Maybe when you're a bit of a better Christian. Maybe when you've been a Christian a bit longer. When you know more of the Bible. When you've had more experience. No, you already are the light of the world. It's who we are. And in a sense, it's making sure that we be who we are and that we don't hide that. I guess the problem is often when we're not true to ourselves, the reason we're not shining out for Jesus with the light of life is either we are not living out a life that God wants for us. We're not living out a life of light and love. Or maybe somehow we're trying to hide it. We're trying to hide the fact we're Christians. We're trying to hide the fact that being a Christian makes you different in a good way. If you listened to Rich's message last week, he was talking about the idea of being like a lamp on a stand, you know, a light in the corner of the room, but pretending to be a vase, or pretending to be a jug, or just pretending to be another ornament that kind of blends in. No, Jesus says you are already lights for other people who don't know me. Not you could be a light after some more training or reading the right books. Of course, there are all sorts of things that can make us more effective. Of course, we can be more and more effective as a light, but you are a light. If you're a Christian trying to live a God-centered life, trying to love people, not hiding away from contact with those who aren't Christians, not hiding the fact that you are a Christian, then you've already got all the essentials. You've got all the essentials to be a light of the world. And Jesus would say to you, I have already made you able to play your part in helping people become my disciples, in shining for me. The Bible says we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hope for us, but also potentially hope for others. So don't hide. Don't hide the light. Don't hide who you are. Shine out with the light of Jesus. Keep growing in your love for God and love for people. That will help. Be willing to be known as a Christian. Be willing to let people see the difference that Jesus makes in your life. But the last thing that Jesus said in these verses is really encouraging if we think that, well, maybe we've always thought it must be a bit more about what we say, the right things. But like me, you don't always know the right thing to say. You miss the chances. Not sure even if there was a chance. We will talk more later on in the series about maybe helpful things about what we might say to people. But Jesus is saying here, let your life shine with good deeds. Let your life shine with good deeds. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your good deeds, your good works, your acts of mercy and love and kindness can point people to Jesus, so that one day they might turn to God at him themselves, put their trust in him, glorify him as Christians. Now, good deeds, of course, include the things that we say. But notice what Jesus says. He says that people will see your good deeds. Good things that we do that can be experienced by people, they do make a difference. Well, they can make a negative difference. I guess the other side of it is maybe we're sometimes concerned about that. But actually what we do can make a positive difference in drawing people to Jesus. Now, I hope you find that an encouragement. I hope you find that encouragement. If you feel you're not so good at speaking about Jesus, or not consistently good at speaking about him or explaining things about God, what can people see in your life and how you act towards people that reflects Jesus? Now, obviously, this is a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge if we think, actually, I'm not being a very good witness, as some people might say. But it is an important thing to think about, isn't it? Maybe some of us actually think, well, it is more about what I say. It doesn't matter so much, do as I say, not as I do. No, actually, both matter, don't they? And maybe for those of us who might think, actually, what I say about my faith is the most important thing. I don't always get it right, and I know people know that. Well, yeah, that is true, isn't it? But actually, how we live, it is important. And just as we want to strive towards living a life which pleases God more and more with his help, we want to live a life which reflects him more and more to others. It does matter. It is something we want to make progress in. And a really helpful place to start, finally get to what the picture is on there, the fruit of the Spirit. There's all sorts of things we could mention, but I think it's a really helpful thing that kind of came to me during the week. Fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. That these are characteristics which lead to good actions towards other people, which God promises to grow in all Christians. But also we are to pursue, and we are to try to grow in, cooperate with God in growing in these things. Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus perfectly displayed these while he was here on earth, but he also enables us to display these, to show these, and to act in this way towards us. Not in a fake way, like Rich was saying last week. We're not trying to put on a good show, but we want to be like this all the time, whether we're at home or whether we're with other people, whether with Christians or people who aren't. Just think for a moment about the people that you come across in an average week or month, people who don't know Jesus yet or don't know Jesus as far as you know. Maybe some of you have brief interactions with people in shops, with neighbours, at work. Maybe there are other people that you spend more time with, like family, friends, colleagues. Maybe there are people that you have an opportunity to serve in a volunteering role. Could be in the church, could be elsewhere, our community cafe, food bank, in school. How can you show more of the fruit of the Spirit? Maybe even how can you show more of the fruit of the Spirit this week or this afternoon? How could you show, it's worth thinking about this, how could you show love and kindness even when people, at least as far as you're concerned, don't deserve it? How can you show patience even when people are difficult? How can you show joy and peace, maybe when your own life is difficult and under pressure? How can you show faithfulness when people have let you down? Maybe showing faithfulness towards people who have let you down. How can you show gentleness to the broken, to the angry, to the harsh? How can you show self-control when people are just getting on your nerves? All these things speak of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit, I guess it's not just about people may be on the receiving end of kindness from us, but also people may just observe the way that we handle difficult situations in a way that's different from other people. These things, they speak of Jesus. They shine his light into people's lives. And they reflect how God has treated us. God has treated us with love and kindness and these things. Now, some of you, that you're really good at spotting opportunities to reach out with kindness to colleagues and neighbors, offering practical help maybe when someone's recovering from an illness, buying flowers when someone's having a tough time, maybe offering to babysit for someone when they need to go out for the evening. Don't just think that's for the church family. That's something that we can do for all people. That's totally obvious to some of you, I know, but maybe not all for all of us. And we might be used to thinking, yeah, of course, we do all these things for our brothers and sisters in church. But pray for opportunities that you would get to show good deeds, love and kindness and all these other things to those you come across who don't know Jesus. I guess the important thing is we're not trying to do it to look good, are we? I guess ultimately, if we never got the opportunity to... I don't want to sort of undermine what I'm saying here, but... ultimately, people do need to hear, don't they? Not we do a good deed and we say, do you know, I'm doing that because I'm a Christian. Did you know that? I'm doing this because God has loved me, so I'm loving you even though you're being a bit of a pain. No, we're not saying that. But ultimately, we do pray and we do hope that actually things will move beyond the good deeds, that people might ask questions. Maybe you get an opportunity to invite them to meet with some of our other Christian friends, even come along on a Sunday or the carol service or something like that. It's not to make us look good, but we do pray that sooner or later it would lead to a question, a conversation about church, faith, Jesus, the difference he's made in our lives. And we're going to be talking later on. The sowing is about sowing words in very easy, understandable ways, sowing words about Jesus and faith into conversations. But let's just stick with the idea of shining with the good deeds for the moment. But yeah, what could this look like for you? Does this kind of resonate with you? Does this make it sound more difficult than you thought or less? Maybe you're already doing these kind of things. How can you be a bit more intentional, a bit more deliberate and expand and grow the kind of things you're doing? Of course, as we say, in some ways, you shouldn't need to have a talk like this because it should just be natural. But actually, the very fact that whenever the Bible says something that we need to do, it obviously doesn't come naturally to us, even though it should. Jesus wouldn't have said this if it wasn't necessary to actually deliberately think about this. How could your normal day reflect more of who you are in Christ? And how could we do this together? This is not just something that we go off and do on our own and we come back and we pray for one another and we encourage one another. I do remember Glenn Scrivener, who has been to speak here in the past. I remember him talking about how powerful it is when someone gets to know several Christians together and they see the love between them, ideally. They see the love between them. They just get to experience a bit of almost church there before them in the sports club or the committee meeting or the cafe or the school gates. Now, maybe you could be listening to this and thinking, well, you know, is this a bit underhand? Just being nice to people so that they become Christians? Well, I think, first of all, it is just right. These things, they are just right to do. Whatever happens, we're not saying, I'm being nice to these people so that they become a Christian. I think, to be honest, I have been guilty of this in the past, that maybe you really make an effort with someone, and then when it's clear they're not interested in your faith or coming along to the carol service or whatever, just sort of like back off. Maybe you don't even consciously do that, but no, it's just, it's right and good to just love all people, isn't it? Whatever happens, we leave the response to God. The Bible says that actually that's what God does. The Bible says he is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. But it is actually the most loving thing that we can do to want someone to become a disciple of Jesus, isn't it? To know God as their Father in heaven, to know their sins forgiven, to know a fresh start, to know God for themselves, to step into life as it's meant to be lived. And we know that people are spiritually blind to these things. They can't see them. It's not always possible to have a direct conversation with them and expect it to go well. But God wants to use our shining with love and kindness to warm people's hearts, to open people's hearts to receive the good news of Jesus. Jesus said again, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." People need the light of Jesus. We are the light. We reflect Jesus as we live God-centered lives that love God and love people. And we shine his light as we do good to those around us, praying that they might open their hearts to Jesus. We're going to just have a moment to, we've got sort of 10 minutes or so before we finish. We might finish early, but be good to just spend a moment responding to that. Maybe to spend a little bit of time talking and praying with someone who's near you. Now, don't panic. As we always say here at Kings, you know, if you're a guest here this morning, if you're new, or even if you're a Christian and you really don't want to speak to anyone, or you're not in that good place this morning, it's absolutely fine. Maybe just take some time on your own to just reflect on what's being said here. If you've got a Bible or Bible on your phone, maybe just look at those verses again. But for those of you who feel able to do this, why don't you just turn to someone who's next to you in sort of twos or threes, and just talk together, but particularly pray. It'd be good to pray if you feel able to do that. Just pray for each other that you might be able to live out who we are in Christ, that we might be able to shine out with the fruit of the Spirit. And maybe you might want to pray, you know, ask people to pray. Pray for me. I'm going to be seeing my sister this week. Pray I might shine the light into her life. Or I'm going to be at work. Or I'm going to be seeing this. I'm going to be in this difficult situation. Help me to act in a way that brings light of Jesus in there. Well, let me just pray and then just give you a chance to talk and pray with each other. Oh, Lord God, we do praise you for shining your light, the light of Christ, into our lives. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, we didn't earn it. It's a free gift from you. Lord, thank you for opening our eyes, opening our hearts to Jesus. And I do pray, Lord, we pray that you might be opening hearts and minds and lives through us. You might use us. Use your light in us to shine to others. Help us know what it means for us, even this week, as we try and put this into practice. In Jesus' name, amen.